All right. Now, if you follow news, this one actually broke on Friday. Some media outlets only picked it up, I think, really yesterday. But
yeah, yesterday afternoon.
We heard about it over the weekend. An interesting court case involving public school, parochial school, and extracurricular activities with students who aren't in the public school but are in the local parochial school, and they want to take part in the public school. Now, that's all. Have I confused you? All right. There's a lot of stuff going on there. This is a court case involving State College School District. And so when we saw this story, or we caught it either Friday or Saturday, I immediately reached out to see if we could possibly get a guest, and we did. So that's terrific. And so we want to welcome Thomas Breath, who is the attorney for the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. And Mr. Breath, first off, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Scott, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Great. Let's start with some background. All right. I'll be honest. Until this story broke, and this is not the first version. I mean, this originally hit the news, I think, back in July it was, about the group that you represent, the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania, which I'm told is based here in State College. I'll be honest, I've never heard of them before. So let's get some background information first. Tell us something about yourself. Where you from, what do you do, and then tell us something about the Religious Rights Foundation. What is this group exactly?
Absolutely. I'm an attorney out of the Pittsburgh area, just north of Pittsburgh in Butler, Pennsylvania. One of the areas of law that I practice in is basically conservative civil rights, which I'd put this case in that category. Special counsel to the Thomas More Society out of Chicago, which is a conservative civil rights organization that fights for families. They are involved in this case, along with the Religious Rights Foundation. I was contacted by a group of folks out of the State College area and asked if I'd meet with them to talk about the issues. And the issues relate to parochial school students and their right under the U.S. Constitution to have equal treatment to participate in extracurricular activities at public schools. So we met with them as part of that process. We formed the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. So it's a new organization. That organization, it's the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania.org. You can find it on the website. They have a website if anybody's interested in looking at their mission or potentially joining the organization. It was established to help represent and promote the religious rights of citizens throughout the Commonwealth. This is the first case that we're involved in. The foundation is one of the plaintiffs, but also there are a group of parents on behalf of their children that attend parochial schools in the State College area that feel that they should be treated in an equal manner to those generally accepted benefits that are provided to homeschool and charter school students.
Now, the foundation is based here in State College, yes?
Correct.
It's right here. Okay. Now, this might seem like a dumb question, but some folks may not really understand what the term parochial means. All right, we're talking about parochial students here. What exactly is that?
It's a broad definition. I think most of the time when people talk about parochial schools, they think of it in the context of Christian schools, Catholic schools that are organized through their diocese, but it's also non-denominational Christian schools, as well as any other religious institution of education for pre-secondary K through 12 students. So it could be a Jewish school, it could be a Muslim school, it could be any other faith. That's why it's really the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. We had a lot of conversation about the need to make sure that all religions are welcome to participate in the foundation, and we're, as an organization, the mission is to help protect all religious rights. It's not a Christian, it's not a Jewish organization or another specific religion. It's really intended to protect all of the religious rights of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
All right, now this is Scott. This might be my cynical side here a little bit, but have other groups reached out to the foundation saying, hey, we'd like to be a part of that? Other groups besides Christian groups, have you heard, do you know, has the foundation heard from any other groups that say, yeah, we'd like to be a part of that?
I don't know. I don't talk to the foundation on a daily basis on that topic. I can tell you when we set it up, we set it up that way. I can tell you personally in the work I've done, not specifically with this foundation, but with other entities, I've done work with Jewish schools out in the Philadelphia area and Christian schools in the Philadelphia area with respect to mask mandates and the COVID-related restrictions that were put in place. So we've done work there. We've done work in the Western Pennsylvania area with parochial schools, Christian primarily in Western Pennsylvania. So I've done a lot of work throughout the state with various religious organizations dealing with, and many times some of the most recent stuff is with respect to the COVID-related restrictions. We represented a group of clients challenging the mask mandate that the governor and the Secretary of Health put down 2-3 years ago now. That ultimately went to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and we prevailed and got a unanimous Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision indicating that the Secretary of Health and the governor do not have the legal authority to mandate the wearing of masks in public schools.
All right, let's talk about this story in particular. And what happened on Friday is not the end, if you will. It's the middle, I guess, so to speak. So we'll talk about that. Let's go back to the beginning, Mr. Breath. What is this case? Maybe without getting specific, who's involved? Why did this have to go to court anyway? Tell us all about this case.
There are parents in the State College school district area that are residents of the State College school district for a number of years that have requested permission from the State College school district that's governed by a board of school directors. They've asked for permission to have their children participate in a variety of extracurricular and co-curricular activities. It's important because sometimes there's a misperception that this is all about athletics, because in our society, athletics tends to be the one that hits the newspaper, so to speak, or the media. Obviously, athletics is one of the extracurricular activities that homeschool and charter school students are permitted to participate in. But at State College, a very big school district, provides a tremendous amount of educational opportunities to its students, the students that are enrolled at State College Area School District. So there's the athletic programs, there's also band, musical, and when I talk about musical, it's not just the high school musical, there are musical events that occur throughout their elementary, middle school, and high school grade levels. There are tutoring programs for after school. There are clubs that the students are have an opportunity to participate in. All of those extracurricular activities, which well exceed 100, it's probably closer to 200 activities throughout all the grade levels of the State College Area School District. Those activities are available, generally available to any student enrolled in the State College Area School District. So if I live in the school district with my parents and they pay taxes and I'm a resident of the school district and I'm eligible to attend school, I can participate in those activities by enrolling in the school district. Of note, if I'm a homeschool student and my parents live in the State College Area School District, I likewise am permitted to participate in those activities without enrolling in the State College Area School District. If I'm a charter school student that lives within the district, I'm able to participate in those activities without enrolling in the State College Area School District. If I'm a parochial school student, so I live in the State College Area School District, my parents pay taxes, and all other aspects, I would be eligible to enroll in the State College Area School District and participate in those activities, except my parents choose to send me to a parochial school to further my religious education, the tenets of our religious beliefs. it's without question that these parents, particularly the plaintiff parents and their children, they're enrolled in parochial schools for religious purposes. Under that scenario, the State College Area School District says you are not able to participate in any of these co-curricular or extracurricular activities. That violates the Free Exercise Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the First Amendment.
A couple of questions. Are we talking primarily then... I can't, and maybe I'm just absent-minded, and it wouldn't be the first time, but we're talking primarily elementary and middle school here. I'm not aware, other than St. Joseph's, which has its own extracurricular program, I'm not aware of another parochial high school.
Okay, high school, Our Lady of Victory, but that's not high school.
No, not high school. No, Our Lady of Victory is not high school.
Right.
They're high school and elementary, so St. Joseph's being one of them. And it's correct that parochial schools have the ability to offer certain co-curricular and extracurricular activities. And if they offer the typical example, so if you have we'll use a Catholic high school since they're the most prevalent throughout the state, it's a good example. If there's a Catholic high school and the Catholic high school has a basketball program, and that basketball program is a PIAA, Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association recognized athletic program, there's no dispute that those students that attend those parochial schools would not be permitted to participate in a home school district, a public school district's PIAA recognized basketball program. That's prohibition is by the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association. That's not a constitutional prohibition. It's not a legal prohibition. It's under the charters and bylaws of the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Scholastic Association. So that's a PIAA issue. But football programs, hockey programs, marching bands, musicals to a certain extent, French club, Latin club, German club, all of these other education issues, right, educational activities that the parochial schools aren't able to offer in that wide spectrum, those need to be made available to parochial school students. And once again, the same way as you're making them available to homeschool students and charter school students, think of it in the context. I know there's some very, very good charter schools in the State College Area School District, many of which are brick-and-mortar schools that have significant facilities. Well, they could start their own athletic program. They could start their own band, in theory. They could start their own form of, you know, pick your co-curricular or extracurricular activity at State College. And I would assert to you, you could make the argument that they're in a much better position as a charter school to mirror and create their own form of extracurricular and co-curricular activities than many parochial school students. Because they're funded, as I think you know, let me explain for your listeners if they don't know. They're funded through the state charter schools. So if a student in the State College Area School District enrolls in a charter school, the subsidy that the state provides to the State College Area School District for that student goes to the charter school. They get credit for that student, and they have, I don't want to call it a tuition, but there is a charge, whether that student's a regular education student or a special education student. The money that goes to that charter school comes from the State College Area School District. As we all know, parochial schools, the parents of the students, they pay their school taxes to the state, and they have to pay tuition to these parochial schools for the privilege of attending the parochial schools. So the funding for charter schools are there in the same manner as the funding for public schools are there, but they don't require charter schools to create their own extracurricular and co-curricular activities. They open the door and say you can participate in those offered through the State College Area School District.
Again, our guest is Thomas Breath, who is an attorney representing the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. This particular court case that's going on right now between some local folks who have their kids in a parochial school and State College School District and different. And Mr. Breath, I'm glad you mentioned not just sports. There's a lot of things beyond sports. And,
yeah.
And we have to take a break here right now, but when we come back, we'll maybe dig a little bit deeper into this. Thorny issue. I'm going to be that devil's advocate when we come back, if you will, so to speak. So stay tuned for that. But anyway, friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come back with more of the program right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Fox on the Run.
The Fox.
And with many wrestlers taking advantage of the newly implemented three-point takedown, Penn State Wrestling defeated the Mountain Hawks, the first dual meet of the season, coming off yet another undefeated season capped by the team's 10th national championship in 12 years. Penn State looked as dominant as ever as it handily took care of the Mountain Hawks.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Mostly cloudy and chilly today. The high near 40. It's going to snow at times. Tonight into tomorrow, accumulate a coating to an inch and cause some slippery roads. The low tonight, 28. The high tomorrow, 38. And changeable skies and chilly with a couple of flurries on Thursday. The high temperature, 38. I'm WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
The weather is changing, and so is 98.7 The Fox. That means winter sports season, and our microphones will be busy in the coming weeks and months with live play-by-play action of all six Center County high schools, girls and boys, basketball and wrestling. Keep listening to 98.7 The Fox to find out when your favorite team will be featured. From December to February, winter sports are back, and the home of the best local high school action is right here.
98.7
Sports Radio 98.7 FM, The Fox, needs your help during the holiday season. We're teaming up with the Weiss Market Stores and State College to fight hunger in our community. So join us on Friday, December 8th. Sports Radio 98.7 FM, The Fox, will broadcast live from noon to 6 p.m., asking for donations of non-perishable items that will go to the food bank at State College. Join us on Friday, December 8th at the Westerly Parkway Weiss Market location and help make a difference and help support the efforts of the food bank at State College.
Fox on the Run.
And with many wrestlers taking advantage of the newly implemented three-point takedown, Penn State Wrestling defeated the Mountain Hawks, the first dual meet of the season, coming off yet another undefeated season capped by the team's 10th national championship in 12 years. Penn State looked as dominant as ever as it handily took care of the Mountain Hawks.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
From statecollege.com, a federal judge has rejected State College Area School District's request to dismiss a lawsuit that alleges it discriminates by not allowing parochial school students to participate in its extracurricular activities. U.S. Middle District Judge Matthew Brand wrote in a memorandum opinion on Friday that the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania has adequately alleged that the district's policy of allowing homeschooled and charter schooled students, but not those who attend parochial schools, to participate violates the U.S. Constitution's free exercise and equal protection clauses.
Mostly cloudy and chilly today. The high near 40. It's going to snow at times. Tonight into tomorrow, accumulate a coating to an inch and cause some slippery roads. The low tonight, 28. The high tomorrow, 38. And changeable skies and chilly with a couple of flurries. Thursday, the high temperature, 38. I'm WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
And we welcome you back in here on a Tuesday morning. It's Let's Talk. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. We will have some open phone time in the final segment this morning and take your calls on absolutely anything at that time.
Friends, quick note, if you just heard our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, the part about slippery roads tonight. Hello.
Yeah.
Please pay attention to that. That's really important. So there we go. Again, we're talking with our guest, Thomas Breath, who is an attorney representing the Religious Rights Foundation of Pennsylvania. In fact, we just had that little news blurb there about a minute or two ago. So there we go. Mr. Breath, how many kids are we talking about here? I mean, how many, you mentioned families, all right? How many students, I guess, are part of this lawsuit against State College School District? I mean, is it 1, 5, 10, 50? How many kids?
I think it's closer to 5. It's not 1. There's, I think, and I apologize, I haven't looked at the caption, and we had some folks that were in with a number of kids that, for family reasons, needed to withdraw. So I think there's 4 to 6 students that are actually and they're named in federal court. The parents use initials in the on behalf of their children, since they're minors, they use initials. So it's done in a manner that their full names are not listed in the pleadings.
Sure.
And again, this is federal court in Williamsport. In other words, it's not some local center county court or something. Why in particular is this federal court in Williamsport?
Well, not to, you said it in a minute, not to disparage local Court of Common Pleas in Center County that I occasionally find myself in, just in case any of the judges are listening. It's a wonderful court. It's in federal court because, I joke, it's in federal court because it's a federal issue. It's a basis of the First and 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. So that's why we're in federal court.
I just want to go back, because I'm just trying to get make sure I'm clear on. Are we talking then primarily this is like a middle school issue in this district, or is it St. Joseph's students? I mean, or is there another parochial school at the high school level that I'm just blanking on in our area?
Not that I know of. I think it's St. Joseph. So you can read into that some of the plaintiffs are students that attend St. Joseph. But it also covers, and that's really where the foundation is associated. The foundation has associational representation of all parochial school students. The legal argument covers, it doesn't distinguish between the rights of parochial school students that attend elementary schools or the rights of parochial school students who attend secondary or high schools.
Got it.
It covers all of them. So what we're asking for is ultimately a determination that all students that attend parochial religious-based educational institutions that would be eligible to attend state college, whether it's kindergarten, whether it's up through high school, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, students that are identified with special education needs can attend public schools up through the age of 21, and I think it's even being pushed beyond that. So if there's a parochial school student or a student that's attending a religious school, they would be eligible to participate.
All right. And then the other part, I just want to make sure I have clear in my mind what the case involves. So if, like at St. Joseph's, they offer boys basketball and girls basketball, I think you covered that if they offer those, then, you know, this does not apply. You can't go try out for state college when that opportunity is there at St. Joseph's. But if sports in general are offered, or there is a choir opportunity, but not a specific opportunity, like wrestling, I don't think is now offered at St. Joseph's. It had been. Is if something generally is offered, that is still something. We're in the specifics. Is that right? So if just to use wrestling as the example, if wrestling is not offered at St. Joseph's, even though athletics are, if you want to wrestle, you should have that opportunity at State College. Do I have that right?
That is correct. I think the distinction on whether the parochial school offers the activity, it's really a PIAA issue. St. Joseph's, for example, can't participate through the PIAA, and I apologize, I'm not familiar with which district in the PIAA State College is located, but once you're a PIAA recognized program, if I don't make the team at St. Joseph's, I can't then hop over to State College and try to make the team at State College.
Yeah.
The PIAA says you can't do that.
Got it.
District 6.
Yes.
That's where we are.
District 6.
Yeah,
thank
there
you.
There we go. Now, let's back up here a little bit. Now, this story originally hit back in the summer, but there was a ruling on Friday. Now, let's go back. What exactly was that ruling on Friday?
That ruling on Friday was the judge's memorandum opinion and order related to the State College School District's motion to dismiss. So in federal court, we filed our complaint. They're required to respond to that complaint. Their response was a motion to dismiss. And basically what a motion dismisses, they asked the court to throw the complaint out. Both parties briefed and responded to the motion to dismiss. And the judge issued a decision. That decision came down Friday, which was the memorandum opinion and order. I would probably characterize it as we may be partially through the first quarter, to use a football analogy. We're not to halftime yet. This is just a preliminary decision. It means that the case will proceed. The judge gave the State College Area School District 14 days to file a response and answer. We anticipate that they will do that. We'll anticipate that the court would schedule what we call a scheduling conference to sit down with the parties and talk about the case and how we're going to proceed, if we're going to do discovery, you know, what discovery would be done, et cetera, et cetera. But in federal court, there's mandatory dispute resolution. So the court, under the court rules, the parties are mandated to go to some form of dispute resolution. For example, we would probably mediate this case, appoint a third-party mediator and have a meeting to see if we can work out the issues and resolve the case without litigation, which, you know, obviously we're always open to that. I'm very aware that we're State College Area School District is spending taxpayer money. I'm spending my clients' money in litigating this. So obviously we're cognizant of the fact that we don't want to waste a lot of time, energy, and resources that could go to more important things if we're able to resolve this in a reasonable manner.
Now, the judge in this case, U.S. Middle District Judge Matthew Brand, who's based out of Williamsport, who we've mentioned, he's been a very busy fellow lately. He's had a number of rulings that have come down. So, now, Mr. Breath, I mean, I think you just said the football analogy. We're still in the first quarter. That means we have a lot of game to play here. I mean, how long could this go if it went to the end? This sounds like this is going to take years to resolve.
It potentially could, and you know, unlike the football analogy, the parties have the opportunity to meet and resolve it, and it can be resolved fairly quickly. I would anticipate that if we're unable to reach a mutually acceptable resolution of this, that it would be litigated through the Middle District in front of Chief Judge Braun in 2024. But it could potentially, if either party is dissatisfied with the resolution in the Middle District of Pennsylvania, they could file an appeal to the Third Circuit Court. And then ultimately it's a federal issue. It could, you know, obviously go to the U.S. Supreme Court under an extraordinary circumstance. But it's really, it's an issue of federal importance. I'm unaware of, there's one federal case out of the Western District of Pennsylvania that's on point that we cite in our brief that is analogous to the arguments that we're making. Parochial school students suing a school district outside of the Pittsburgh area on the same theory that you can't let homeschool and charter school students participate in co-curricular and extracurricular activities and exclude parochial school students. That was a favorable decision that came out of the Western District of Pennsylvania. Obviously, it's not binding upon Chief Judge Braun, But it's certainly persuasive precedent coming out of the Western District.
Along those lines, do you know, like, do most school districts in Pennsylvania have in place that, yes, we already just allow parochial students to participate in any of our extracurricular activities, or is this something that just that a lot of school districts do and it just hasn't been brought up? Do you know that in Pennsylvania?
I do work for school districts, so and I shouldn't say all of our clients, because not all of our clients have brought the issue to our attention to ask our opinion, but the ones that have brought it to our attention, for years we've indicated, yes, let them participate. Okay. And quite honestly, it hasn't been a... I mean, it begs the question, why not? What's the downside? And I don't... I mean, I don't think there's been a massive outcry at State College Area School District. All these charter school students or these homeschool students, they're taking all of our, you know, the starting quarterback is a homeschool student, or the head cheerleader. I mean, go down the list of whatever you individually would consider important,
right,
in these types of activities. I don't think there's been any outcry that students enrolled in the State College Area School District are losing opportunities, educational or otherwise, because you're letting homeschool or charter school students participate. I don't think that's going to change. And quite honestly, and I'm going to go off the legal side of it a little bit here. Don't you want to reach out to those students and try to integrate them to the greatest extent possible into public education? Isn't that something that we should be, if we're inclusive and we really want to be inclusive with all students, is reach out and say, I don't know why you're going to a parochial school, but that's your business. But if you want to come participate in something, all the better. Because the more participation you have in public education, the stronger public education becomes.
I guess this is Scott here, sir. This is where maybe I get slightly confused. I'm going to be the devil's advocate against the Religious Rights Foundation, which is a very poor pun. I could understand if the school district saying, hey, family, you chose to go somewhere else. Why do you think you can then come back here and use our stuff, if you will, being very brief? You chose to go somewhere else. Why do you think you can now then come back and use some of our stuff while you're over there doing that stuff? I mean, what's the argument there, sir?
It's the same argument that's been made for years, and I know you're being devil's advocate, so my comments aren't directed to you personally.
Sure.
That's the bigotry and discrimination that parochial school students have faced for years. You turned your back on public education. Now you want us to open our doors to you. That bigotry has been there, and that discrimination has been there for decades and decades and decades. You could say the same thing to homeschool parents. You could say the same thing to the charter school parents. You're not enrolled in our school district. Why would we let you come in and enjoy any of the benefits? Quite honestly, for parochial school parents, they're paying taxes. They're paying the same taxes as a student's parents that enroll their student in there. They've chosen, and this is the discrimination, they've chosen for religious purposes to educate their child in a parochial school. You can't let secular people that choose not to enroll their child in the State College Area School District, they're permitting them to participate, and their decision is non-religious based. But the ones that are making it for religious purposes, you're excluding. I think everybody understands that, hey, that smells of discrimination, because it is discrimination. If they said to everybody, homeschool students, you can't participate. Charter school students, you can't participate. The only ones that can participate in the extracurricular and co-curricular activities of the State College Area School District are students that are enrolled in the State College Area School District. I think it's very hard to say that they're discriminating against anyone.
Yeah, there's the hook. Yeah. I mean, that's the part of the story that's made me scratch my head a little bit. And it would be interesting if parochial school parents could somehow opt out of paying their taxes, the public school taxes, so that they would have no financial hook anymore. So, Mr. Breath, we have about 30 seconds. Let's repeat. What happens from now? What's the next step?
The next step is approximately, I think it's the 15th of December, the State College Area School District has to file a response and answer to the complaint. That'll be a public record, and then based upon their answer, we'll go from there, and the case will be litigated, and hopefully at some point the parties will go to mediation or other form of dispute resolution and resolve this so that we can stop spending taxpayer money on something that is better resolved.
That sounds the parties. Good. That sounds very good.
Well, Mr. Breath, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll keep following the story, and maybe we'll check in again sometime. Thank you for joining us today.
Scott and Jeff, thank you very much. It was my pleasure. Call anytime. It's a privilege to speak with you.
No, thank you. I really appreciate the explanation. I have a much better understanding of what all is involved there.